So we all know our text for today is, we've just had the gospel reading, and before that we had that text from John 8, and it says this: Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Those who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." One of the great sayings of Jesus. I want you to picture yourself at this moment. If you're standing in a queue, you've been standing in a queue recently and you're wanting to get into something, it could be a foodie festival like George and I went to on Bank Holiday Oxford Monday just now. And you can see the foodie festival, but you can't get into it until you've been through the ticket barrier and shown your ticket to a person. Lots of events we go to and we want to get inside, but we have to negotiate the gatekeeper or the ticket barrier in some shape or form. There's no other way into it than to engage with that person who stands between you and where you want to get to. Perhaps change the picture a little bit. You are in a desert and you are now seriously dehydrated and you need water. And you come to an oasis and there's just one person standing there, the owner of that oasis, if you like, and they're standing there and you can't get that drink of water until they basically give you permission. Something essential, but you have to engage with the person who has the right access, if you like, to that essential ingredient. Someone who's a gatekeeper, someone who acts as the person who can give you that which you need, that which you want. I want you to have that picture in mind as we listen to the words of Jesus here in John's Gospel. Jesus stands effectively between us and something essential for our life, and he says, "You'll only find it through me." We've been in a sermon series recently in John's Gospel in recent weeks. 3 weeks ago, we were looking at Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." Now, bread is just almost essential for life. Sorry, Patrick, bread is not fully essential for life. You can live life by not eating flour. Okay, but we all know that bread was the staple in Jesus' day, the staple part of the diet, almost essential for life. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." 2 weeks ago, we were thinking about water. Jesus saying, "I can give you water which will spring up to eternal life." Water is essential. Jesus effectively saying, "I can give you what you need." And the woman on that occasion speaking to Jesus said, "Give me that water. Give me. I need that." Now, in the passages that we're looking at today, the one that I've mentioned and the one that Fritz just read to us, Jesus effectively is listing a few other things which he sees as the essentials to life and for which he is the gatekeeper, the person who guards them. You want these things, he's effectively saying, you're going to find them through me. And the first of these, the one I want to focus on almost all my time, is light. Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world. If you want to have some light, you're going to get it from me." I want you to sense the full force of this. It really is quite a powerful thing that Jesus is saying. Perhaps we get the full force by thinking about darkness. How horrible it is to be in a place of complete darkness. Can you imagine a time when you've been in a place of complete darkness and you didn't want to be in that place of darkness? Maybe someone shut the door upon you when you're a young child in a room, and suddenly you're in a room in darkness, you don't know what to do. Maybe it's a power cut. I was out in Uganda 20 years ago with a young student from Oxford, and he came with me, and he got lost on the way back from the event, going back to the house. And for 400 yards, he was in total and utter darkness. He was walking into trees. He could not see because there was no moon that night and no lights in any of the houses. Utter darkness. I wonder what it would be like if the P&O crews next year decided not to go northwards up to Norway in June, but instead decided to take people off to Antarctica in June to spend a month with the penguins standing there. What would it be like to be in total darkness without sun coming up for any part of the day? Total darkness, pretty frightening. We don't want to be living in darkness, and Jesus said you don't need to if you follow me. I want us to see the enormity to what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world. If I was to go around Easton tomorrow saying, "I am the light of the world," and going to the cricketers saying, "I am the light of the world," well, there's soon a telephone to the bishop saying, "We've got someone mad here as the rector. He's either mad or he's bad. He's claiming to be the light of the world." This is enormous. Jesus is absolutely outrageous here, unless he is correct in what he's saying. Jesus calmly says, I am the light of the world. And when he said, I am the light of the world, you have to remember that he's invoking the name of God. It's revealed in the Old Testament as I am, I am, I am. That's the name of God. Jesus saying, I am, and he's saying, I'm the light of the world, the light of the whole world. And in the book of Genesis, there's darkness over the deep. And then God suddenly says, let there be light. And there is light. And effectively Jesus saying, I am that light that God turned on the first day. Jesus, the light of the world. And in our Christmas readings, we often hear John chapter 1 saying, the true light that enters, that created the world, came into the world. And that's what Jesus has claimed to be now. The light of the whole world. It's an enormous claim. But Jesus also makes it very individual and brings it down to each one of us. He says, whoever follows me as an individual, that person will have the light of life. If you're in a dark tunnel, you want to be close to the person who's got the light. I once went through Hezekiah's tunnel in Jerusalem. It goes on for about 50 yards, total darkness underground. And to maintain and make sure your iPhone light was on, absolutely critical, not get too separate from the person in front. It's hard to imagine people actually choosing to stay in darkness rather than having light. But there's another verse in John's Gospel which I must just share with you. He says, light has come into the world, but people prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Can you imagine preferring darkness to light? But John says, mysteriously, people do. Now we see that Jesus is using this imagery of darkness and light for a moral purpose, to describe evil actions as though they are dark and good actions as light. Jesus, therefore, is saying he is true goodness. Everything that's good is to be found in him. And we need to turn away from everything which has to do with darkness or with evil. And that's why, did you notice it in our baptism service? What the baptism promises about? Did you notice the first two were about turning away from evil? Do you turn away from your sin? Do you reject evil? I do. There's a turning away from that which is darkness to that which is light. Let me tell you that if Marietta had been being baptized, very nice. Many, many centuries ago in the early church, do you know what they would have done? They would all have faced west, which is the place of darkness, and then they would have turned around and faced east, because the east is where the sun comes from, where Christ rises. Do you know that every Christian church for more than 1700 years has been built facing which direction? East. Because that's where the sun rises, and we believe Christ is the light of the world. And when you got baptized in ancient time, you faced the darkness and you turned 180 degrees round. And so the question of any baptism is, if you like, are you turned towards the east? Are you orientated, notice the word, towards the east? Are you facing the light? There's a lovely thing, again, I think Chris will know this rather well. Sorry to make this something which is related to you, but you captain these ships, you direct these ships, presumably occasionally you actually say which direction they have to go. That's part of this great responsibility that he has. Well, if you're flying an airplane and you set it to go north, you keep going north until you go over the North Pole, and then you have to go south. You can't keep going north forever. But if you're in an aeroplane and you set it to go east, you go east, and 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 you go east forever. Now, I don't think you can actually do that in a ship around the globe, can you? There's a bit of land mode somewhere. Yeah. That's right, you have to do it. But it's an incredible picture of if you're going east, you can go on forever facing east. And that's my little picture for you today in this baptism service. Will you be those who want to turn and face east? Now, if we're honest, there are little bits, parts of us which are facing north and south, and maybe there's one or two parts of us which are facing towards west, and that's not so good. Today is an opportunity just to come back and face towards the light and face east, if you like. It's part of what the baptism promises about, rejecting evil and turning to Christ as our Saviour and Lord. Well, that's what we want for Marietta. Her life would be one which is filled with light, and it's one we want to pray for ourselves. Jesus would love it to be true for all of us, to be orientated towards him and to have set our compass on east. Well, which way are we facing? That's my question. Today is an opportunity for each of us to reorientate ourselves to the light of Jesus. Or as it says in our Advent collect, to turn away from the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light. So I'm just going to say a prayer in just a moment. Before I do, I just want you to notice something from our words from Church Matters in the other passage. Very briefly, Jesus goes on to say something else. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. And again, he repeats it in verse 9. I am the gate. You see, he's standing there saying, I'm the gatekeeper. And he's saying, if you want to find what I can give you, you have to come by me. And he says, whoever enters by me will be saved. You come in through the gate as a sheep, and you go into a nice, safe pasture. Are you going to be protected at night? That's lovely. Jesus saying, I'll give you that protection. And then during the day, if you want to go out, you're going to find lovely things to eat out there, pasture. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in. And then they will go out the next day and find pasture. Everything you need for life, protection from attack, and sustenance for the future. Without those, you're going to die. If you want to live, you need protection and you need preservation and sustenance. I can give you that, says Jesus. So he's not just saying, I can give you light. He's saying now, I can give you life. And finally, in the very last verse, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus is hinting at what he's going to do on the cross when he lays down his life because he loves us. And we're going to celebrate it at communion in just a moment. Breaking bread to remember Jesus dying for us, to rescue us, to show us his love. Now do you see the three great things which Jesus is offering us? Light, life, and love. Three great L's in English. Light, life, love.